today's daf is Chulin Daf Pei Gimel. Once again, we thank Elisha Graf for covering the daf over the last 3 days. And Elisha left off on the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph at Tashma.
So it was three lines shorter
of that, but I should have known. Oh, 3 lines shorter of that. Okay, so we'll go back a little bit. So we're in the middle of discussing if a person can violate two separate, if a person gets 80 Malkios, if he violates the same Isser twice, but with a single Maisa. Meaning the case was, a person Shechts, for lack of a better term, the grandmother and the grandchild, and then after that, shechts the middle generation. So they violated Osav Esmano on two different generations simultaneously. So we're going to bring rayas on that issue, whether that's a violation of Osav Esmano. Then we're going to have several mishnayos to finish off the perek. There's going to be a mishnah about certain times of the year where there's an assumption that things are going to be shechted immediately, and therefore one needs to be careful. The mocher needs to be careful about selling the two generations together on the same day, because they're likely to be shechted on the same day, and they may have certain ramifications in Hilchos Kinyanim as well that the Gemara is going to talk about. And then the Mishnah is going to explain how we define what's called a Yom when it comes to Oso the Espino. Do we follow Yom as in Maisa Bereshis, that Hayom Holech Achar Halayla, or do we follow Yom as far as Hilchos Kodshim, where Halayla Holech Achar Hayom? And then to begin the sixth parak, which is going to discuss the mitzvah of Kisei Adam, the Mishnah is going to tell us when and where the mitzvah of Kisei Adam is noeg, and the Gemara specifically is going to get into why it is that we don't have a mitzvah of Kisei Adam b'muktashin when it comes to hegdish animals. So let's begin. Let's see what's a good starting point. We'll start here from the very bottom of Pei Beis Amud Beis at Ditanya. Ditanya Velosos, the second to last line. So where do we find the Tana within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that Hasra Asafik is considered Hasra? Ditanya, we have a brisa that tells us as follows: Lososir mimenu ad boker, vanos mimenu ad boker be'esh tisrofu. That there is an isra of no, so you're not allowed to leave over kachim beyond the time where you're not allowed to eat it. And if you leave it over till the morning after, so then you have to burn it. So it's talking about dafka by being moser carbon Pesach. If you don't eat it until the morning of the first day of Pesach, so really you should have gotten malkus for the lav losasim menu ad boker. But ba'akosuv l'tenasei achar losasei, the Torah, when it says va'nosim menu ad boker beish tisrofu, that you burn it, if you had left it over, it's coming to give a mitzvah sasei that if you violated the lav, you now have a way to undo that, to fix the lav. Lomar she'en lo kan lav, and that teaches us that you don't get malkus on such a lav, because the lav anita klasei is ein lo kan lav. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda shita. Rabbi Yaakov Omer lo min hashem hazeh, that's not why you don't get malkus for no sir. It's not because it's a lav anita klasei el mishum davle lav shem b'maisa. It's because no sir is a lav shem b'maisa. How does one violate most no sir? By just not doing anything, by just leaving the meat there, and then it will memela go past the time, it will go till the next morning. But kolav shem b'maisa ain lokin love. Whenever you have a lav shem b'maisa, there's no malchus. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda paters only because it's there's an asay achalos asay. Without that, he would have been mechayiv, even though the asra on such a lav is by definition asra asafik. Because how could you possibly warn a person without asra asafik? You can't warn him that if he doesn't eat it right now, he's vaday going to be over the isra of nosar, and he's going to be chayiv malchus, because he has. If he doesn't eat it right now, he can eat it in 5 minutes from now. He has until morning time. So the Tana of this brisa must hold that according to Rabbi Yehuda, hasra safek shma hasra is a valid form of hasra, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda needed another reason to tell me that you're not chayiv malchus, namely that it's a lav hanitik la'asei. And according to that, we could be miyashiv the mishnah of a person who eats shnei gira nosha, that we're talking about that he eats it bazeh achar zeh, and according to the Tanakami, he's chayiv shtayim, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's chayiv achas, even though it's hasra safek. And you can't bring a raya for being ochel bibas achas according to sumchus, which was our initial discussion about eating bibas achas. So now the Gemara brings another brisa where it could be that Rav Yosef learned that according to sumchus, you could be chayiv shtayim when you're over twice on the same iser at the same time, even when it's not gufim muchlakim, even when it's not two separate bodies that are the source of the Isser. Tashma, we bring a brisa as follows with regard to the halacha of gira nasha. Achal shnei gidin b'shtei reichos mishtei behemos. Person eats two gira nashas from two separate animals. Sofek shmonim yischayiv 80 malkios, yischayiv twice. Rabbi Yehuda omer, eino sofek al arbaim. No, you're only chayiv 40 malkios. So the brisa holds that the Isser of gira nasha on a daraisa level is only on the yerech yamin, is only on the right side of the animal. So says Gemara Hechidami, what exactly is the case over here where there is a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you loke shmonim or loke arba'im? Ilema b'zeh achar zeh, if we're talking about that you eat these shnei gidim one after the other, ubishtei asra'os, and you receive a separate asra'a for each of these gidim, well then my time with Rabbi Yehuda damar arba'im v'sulo. Well then it wouldn't make any sense that there would be a shita of Rabbi Yehuda, they only get one malchus. I mean, if someone warns me today, don't eat a gidanasha, and then I violate that asra and I eat it b'fnei edim, and then someone warns me tomorrow, don't eat a gidanasha, and again I violate the isra b'fnei edim, so there's no doubt that I'm going to be chayiv 80 malchus. It wouldn't make any sense that Rabbi Yehuda would say it's only 40. El pshita bebasachas ubechad asra. It must be that we're talking about I ate, the person ate shnei gidim, he ate two gidanashas at the same time after only receiving one hasra. So says Gemara, man Tanakama, who's the Tanakama that even under those circumstances where it was only one asra and yet shnei gidim at the same time, that you can be chayiv 80 malkios? If it's assuming like the Rabbanan who disagree with Sumchus, that are you shochet, if you're shecht the grandmother, the grandchild, and then the middle generation, that you're only chayiv one, well, ma hasam de gufin muchlakin, if over there by Yosef Aspino, where the two isurim come as a result of two separate gufim, they come as a result of the grandparent and the grandchild, Patri Rabban and the Rabbanan still say you're not chayiv two malkios, you're only chayiv one. Hacha, when it comes to shnei gidim lokal shkein, where it's not from gufim muchlakim, all the more so you should only be chayiv one. So why would the Tanakama say that you're chayiv shtayim? It's an interesting assumption the Gemara is making, that this is called when you eat two gidanashas from two separate animals. That's not called gufa machlakin, right? I mean, to make a kal v'chomer, that a mah hasam by the osav espino case, where it's a grandmother, grandchild, and the middle one, so the chiyuvim come from the grandmother, grandchild, those are gufa machlakin. But over here it's lo kol shkein because it's not even gufim mechlakim. So the Acharim explain it's not gufim mechlakim because you could be chayiv shtayim by eating a gid of a single animal also if you were to eat shnei kezesim. But by also best we know there's no way to be chayiv unless it comes from separate gufim. Meaning the nature of the isra of gid anasha has nothing to do with how many animals the gid came from. It has to do with how many kezesim of gid that a person ate. So elulav. So it must be that the brisos follow. Following Sumchus, he's following the Shita of Sumchus, who in our Mishnah said, you're Chayiv Shtayim. So you see that according to Sumchus, you're Chayiv Shtayim even when you're over the same Isser twice at the same time, even when it's not Gufa Mechlakim. So says Gemara, nah, Liolam Bazeh. Maybe the Bryce is really talking about, you ate these two Gidanashes, Bazeh Acharzeh, not at the same time. Udkamrit, my time it's Rabbi Yehuda. Well, if you ate Bazeh Acharzeh, we asked, well then why would Rabbi Yehuda say you're only Chayiv once? Kigon de lespe kezayis. The case is the first or the second gid, one of them was not a full kezayis, and only the other one was a kezayis. So really, you should only, that's why you're only chayiv one malchus. Titania, achalo ve'inbo kezayis, chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad shiyehebo kezayis. Machlokas is, what if you eat an entire gidanasha, but it doesn't have a kezayis? Do you get malchus? That's the machlokas tanaim, and this is a known machlokas tanaim from a brisa. If you eat a gidanasha ve'inbo kezayis, Tanakama says you chayiv malchus, even though it's not a kezayis, because it's a beria. And the halacha is that if a person eats a beria, he's chayiv malchus, even though there's no shir kezayis. That's a sugya mesechas makos and daf yud gimel. Over there in Mesechas Makos, the Gemara points out it's Machlokas Tanaim, how we define a barrier. Rabbi Shimon defines a barrier anything that's an entire natural unit. A chita shel tevel is a barrier, even though it doesn't have neshama, it's not a living being, and according to the Chachamim, a berry is only when it has a neshama, like an ant, a bug, something like that. So Tosfos explains that according to the Chachamim, that by Gid HaNasha, it would still be called a beria, because the Gid HaNasha was part of a living thing. So it's considered to be something that has a neshama. Rav Salvation explains in the Shiurim and Yaradeya that the nature of most Isurim are an Isur Chomer. Beria is when you have an Isur Tzura, that it's not about the quantity of something, it's just about the Tzura of something. I don't know what the proper English word is for Tzura to explain what that means, but the nature of the Isur of the Isur Beria is that you have this as an entity. So as an entity, you're Chayiv, even if you don't have a certain quantity, even if it's the same reason that you're Chayiv when that one is Chayiv multiple Malkios for eating a tiny bug that's way less than a Kazayas, is because it's a Beria Shlema, and the way that the Torah asks it is it asks it as as an entity. So since we could explain the Brisa in the case of eating Zeh Achar Zeh, so now we have no Raya about Shnei Yisurim, Bebas Achas, Uba Hasra Achas. So we're not able to prove one way or the other on Sumchus. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. There are certain times of the year where the Jewish people tend to make a lot of Su'udos, and therefore if a person buys an animal during those times of the year, his obvious plan is to shecht it right away. And the seller has to be aware of that, and the Chamer therefore Misakein, that during those particular times, the seller has to let the Lokeach know, Ima Macharti Hayom, Bita Macharti Hayom, I sold the other generation from this animal's family today, so that you could know not to shecht it, not to risk a violation of Osov Espinosa. Barba Prakam Hashana, four times a year, Hamocher Behem Lechaveru, someone sold an animal, the aim or the bas of the animal to somebody else, Sarach Lodio, Ima Macharti Lishchot, Bita Macharti Lishchot, I already sold the other generation to Shecht, and therefore, even though you're buying it right now, you're not allowed to Shecht it right now, because the understanding is that everyone is going to Shecht it right away, and we don't want to risk violating Osov Espino. What are these four times? Ve'elu hein, Erev Yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag, Erev Yom Tov Ha'achron of Sukkot, they would eat a lot of basar, because it was a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmo, it wasn't just a Hemshech of the Yom Tov Sukkot, Shmini is Chag Bifnei Atzma, Linin Pizar Kashav, the Sugi Mesechus Sukkos tells us in Mesechus Avodah Zarah, the Rashi explains that it was the day that they would be mashed in the kabanos of Chag HaSukkos, that's someone who's not Chag, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, is Choge Kol HaRegel V'Yom Tov HaAchron Shel Chag, so they would have a lot of extra shechitas going on, because they would do all the tashlumin for whatever was missed on that day. So fine, so that was a day of a lot of meat. The Erev Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, and certainly Erev Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, Erev Pesach, where they would check the lot, because the Korban Pesach has to be nechal al sova. So even if you have a lot of people and families sharing Karm Pesach, where each person gets a kazayis, but you have to do pre-gaming on the Karm Pesach to make sure that you're full before you eat the Karm Pesach, it has to be nechal al sova. So that they had to have other animals to bring. The Erev Rosh Hashanah, and on Erev Rosh Hashanah they would be marbe b'basar, because it was a good simin on Erev Rosh Hashanah to be marbe b'basar. It was a simin bracha, that's the Gemara in Creases and Daf Hey tells us a person should eat Simanim on Rosh Hashanah as a Simen Tov, so they associate that with eating a lot of Basra as well. Ukdiv Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Af Erev Yom HaKippurim BeGalil, that even Erev Yom HaKippurim in Galil, that they would eat a lot because there's a mitzvah to eat Dafka on Erev Yom HaKippurim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai, when do you have to let the guy know that you sold the other generation? Bizman She'in Lo Revach. That's where you sold them both on Erev Yom Tov, where you could assume both of them are going to shecht it that day. Aval Yesh Lo Revach. But if there's another day in between, Ein Tzarech Lo Dio. You don't have to let the second guy know, because you could assume that the first guy shechted the animal the day that he bought the animal. So if he bought it 2 days before Yantiv, assume that he shechted it that day. Umod Rabbi Yehuda b'mocharas ha'eim l'chasan ves habas l'kala she'tzarech l'odio. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you sold the aim to the chasan and the bas to the kala for the sake of sudas nisuin, even though you didn't sell them on the same day, then you have to let them know. Biyadua she'shneim shochtin biyomechad. You know what's going on. They're making a wedding. So obviously, if one side bought one animal, the other side bought the other animal, you know when they're going to be using it. So it can't be that it can't possibly assume that they're not using it on the same day. Now, this says the Mishnah, this idea of these 4 days where there's this extra sense of immediacy in shechting the meat has ramifications in Choshen Mishpat as well. That during these four times, the mocher has to let the buyer know they were also masakin mashchitin as hatabach bal karcho. We could be mechayiv the shochet to shecht even if he doesn't want to. If he the lokeach gives the mocher money on erev yom tov to purchase a piece of meat from the animal, keneged the amount of money that he gave him, even though he didn't do a meshicha on the basar, he's already kona that chelek. And once he's already kona that chelek of the shor, he could be mechayev the mocher to shecht it. Afilu shor shava elef dinarim ve'im lo lokeach ela dinar. Even if the shor on a whole is worth 1,000 dinarim, and the lokeach only bought a dinar's worth of meat, and the mocher doesn't have other people to sell the other 999 dinarim worth of meat too, so it's going to be a massive loss for him. We could still force him to shecht it for the basar that the lokeach has of that's worth 1 dinar. Lefichach imes meis lokeach, and therefore, since the lokeach is able to force the shochet because he already owns the piece of meat that he paid for, if the shor dies before the shechita, then the lokeach loses out, meaning he's the owner, and the fact that it died is no too bad on him. He's just like your stuff gets ruined, so it's your problem. So this is his meat. His meat died, so it's his problem. Aval b'shar yimos hashana, but every other day of the year, where if you were to give money in advance for the meat that the shochet has not yet shechted, ain't okay. Now, Allah is not this way. You cannot be mechayev the mocher to shecht the behema for your little piece of meat until he sold out every part of the animal. And Moos is not kono, so you do not yet own that piece of meat of the animal. Leficha chameis meis lemocher. And therefore, if it dies, it's the mocher's problem that it dies. Now, it is interesting that one of the days that we identified as a day that they sell a lot of meat because they shecht a lot of meat was Erev Atzeres, where there would be marbe b'shalmei chagiga and olasriya. Erev Atzeres. Erev Atzeres means Erev Shavuos, that they would have, apparently Shavuos was a time where there was where people were eating a ton of meat. So first of all, in general, just the very idea that meat was something that was necessary or is something that's necessary for Hilchos Yom Tov, meaning is this only Bismatch Bismuk Shayikayim when they had karbanos, so that they needed meat for Simchas Yom Tov, but Bisman Azeh, there's no need to have meat. The Gemara Masechet Pesachim tells us in the 10th paragraph of Masechet Pesachim says that the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov is Bisman Shavisimuk Shayikayim ain't Simchel Babasar. Vachshav Shayim Bisimuk Shayikayim ain't Simchela B'yayin. Makes it sound like there's no mitzvah of Simcha anymore with meat. If that would be the case, then this whole Mishnah shouldn't apply Bisman Azeh. The Rambam nevertheless writes, when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, Chayev Adam Liel Sameach Ben. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov Parak Vav, Chayev Adam Liel Sameach Ben Sameach V'Tov Lev, Hu Bana Vishlo B'nei Vesa V'Kala Milvim Lav Shemar V'Sameach T'Bachagecha. And he says, even though the Simcha that we associate with Yom Tov is Karban Shlamim, nevertheless, Yesh B'chlalos HaSimcha L'Smach Hu Bana V'nei Vesa Kalecha V'Echad Kara Ilo. Everyone should experience Simcha with what gives them Simcha. Says Ram, Ketzan, Haktanim Nosam Klayus Vagozim Mugdanos. You give candy to the children. Vanashim Konalem Begadim Vitakshitim Naim Kifim Amono. You buy nice clothing for your wife, but only as much as you can afford. A person shouldn't spend beyond his means. Va'anashim ochlin basar vishos in yayin, says the Rambam. Men eat meat and drink wine. She'ain simcha ela b'basar. V'ein simcha ela b'yayin. So the Rambam does not say bizman hazeh there's only yayin. He says ein simcha ela basar and ein simcha ela b'yayin. So the Beis Yosef on the spot in Archaim Simtov Kuf Chavtes in Hilchos Yom Tov asks that it's against the Gemara Psachim Kuf Tes, where the Gemara tells us that only bizman shabisim shayikayim who's ein simcha ela basar. Now it's ein simcha ela b'yayin. So why does the Rambam say that achilas basar applies bizman hazeh? It should be only shtiyas yayin. So Yamshel Shlomo Maseches Beitza points out that the Gemara does not mean to be mema'it achilas basar b'zman hazeh, because basar itself is a chiyuv midin sudas yom tov. The Gemara means to say that b'zman hazeh, where we don't have simcha al yidei shlamim, aside from basar, we should also have yayin. Meaning it means ein simcha al b'yayin in conjunction with the basar, together with basar. Other achronim understand that now we have options. You can choose basar or yayin, and that's why the Rambam splits up into two sets. He doesn't say ein simcha al basar b'yayin. He says ein simcha al basar or ein simcha al b'yayin, meaning that a person has the option to choose basar or yayin. So the poskim seem to assume that there is some sort of chiyuv, not quite the same chiyuv, but some sort of chiyuv b'zman hazeh b'basar. Now, certainly when it was about bringing carbon shlamim, that was a chiyuv d'oraisa to bring carbon shlamim shamei simcha. Nowadays, it's not a chiyuv d'oraisa to have basar. There's a chiyuv to have simcha. So you do whatever gives you simcha, and basar is assumed to be one of those things that gives us simcha. But more interesting, or maybe equally interesting, is the idea that Shavuos is highlighted as a day that they would eat a lot of meat. In the Sefer Toras Chaim, he says, "Mikan tshuva leminageinu shenogin lechol machalei chalav b'chag haShavuos." Tshuva, he means akasha. He says, this is akasha on the minhag. People eat milchig on Shavuos. The minhag doesn't come from nowhere. The Ramah quotes the minhag. What's the minhag based on? So it's important to understand what the minhag is based on, to understand how it's properly fulfilled. People think that you fulfill this minhag by having dairy meals on Shavuos, and that's a fulfillment of the minhag. The Ramah Dafka says, no, the point is to have both a dairy and a meat meal in place of where you only would have had just a meat meal on Shavuos, because the halacha is that the special carbon of the day of Shavuos is shtei halachem. And there is a halacha in Yeridei and Hilchos Basar v'Chalav that the same loaf of bread that you have at a milchig meal should not be used at a fleishig meal. So as a zecher to the shtei halachem, how are we can make a zecher to the shtei halachem? What, to have lechem mishnah on the table? You have that every Shabbos and every yantiv, so that's not going to be a zecher to the shtei halachem. So a zecher to the shtei halachem, we force ourselves to have two sets of bread. We have a set of bread that we have with our milchig meal and a set of bread that we have with our fleishig meal. How do we force ourselves to have two sets of bread? By having a milchig and a fleishig meal. So it wasn't that we would minimize in the fleishigs, it's that in addition to the fleishigs, we need some milchigs as a way of doing a zecher to the shtei halachem. Mishnah Berurah quotes the more famous reason, but it's not the one in the Ramah. Mishnah Berurah quotes b'shem a gadol echad, that after Bnei Yisrael were mekabel the Torah, they didn't have what to eat, they only had milchig to eat, because at Kabbalah Satorah, once they had Kabbalah Satorah, now there's a lot you have to do in order to be able to prepare meat. You have to shecht with a sakin that's checked properly, and you have to be menaker, the chutei chelev, and the dam, and the gid, and you have to do the hadacha, and the malicha, and to be mevashel in the brand new kelim, because the kelim that they had were still b'nei yoman, where chelev was cooked in them. So that's why they chose to eat milchigs instead. According to that, l'chora, you would not have to have a fleishig meal. It would just be a milchig meal. Also, according to what the Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Zohar, the reason the Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Zohar probably also would not require a fleishig meal. Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Zohar that the idea of milchigs on Shavuos is because the Shiva Shavuos between Pesach and Shavuos is considered like Shiva Nikian. And just like a woman who's nursing is Mesulek as Danim, she's not going to become a Nida. It's time of great purity that she's unable to even become Tamei. So as a simon of the Shiva Nikiyim, we have that the Shiva Nikiyim are complete and we've achieved Tahara. We have Chalav on Shavuos to show Chalav is the opposite of Tumah. That Chalav is, others say that the Kolba writes that the reason is because Shavuos, we eat Dvash v'Chalav, because the Torah is compared to both Dvash and Chalav. Dvash v'Chalav tachas l'shonech. Okay, for all those other reasons, it seems that you don't need to have a fleishig meal. But probably the ik reason is what it says in the Ramah. So that would imply they have a fleishig meal, especially when it's a din mefreshes in the Mishnah, that they would have, that the Mishnah works with the assumption that they would have fleishigs. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Tana im lo hodio holech v'shochet ve'inu nimna. That we learned in a braisa that someone who buys a behema on these 4 days, and no one told you, the mocher didn't tell you that he sold the other generation from this family on the same day, so then you're allowed to shecht. You don't have to ask the question, you're allowed to shecht, and it's his responsibility to let you know. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Emesai. So Rabbi Yehuda said, when does he have to let you know? Only when there's, when it's mamish on the same day. But if there's revach benetayim, if there's a day in between, then he doesn't have to let you know. And then we said, but Rabbi Yehuda's moda, that if you sell the aim to the chasan and the bas to the kala, that then even if they're a day apart, you have to let them know, because obviously they're buying it for the same chasana. So says Gemara, lamin l'misni as ha'aim l'chasan v'as ha'bas l'kala. Why of all examples give that example, that the mother, which presumably is the larger animal, goes to the chasan, and the smaller animal goes to the kala? Says Gemara, mil saga vorche kamashlan. Da'orach ara l'mitrach be'chasana, tfei mi be'kalasa. That it's the derech eretz, that the person who's most responsible for preparing the su'udas ha'chasana is the chasan side, more so than the kala side. That was the assumption, and the chasan would do more than the kala, because it was the kala would go to live in the base chasan. The Gemara says himself to Abbasa, the chasan who lives base chamav is kal me subin. He's considered to be a low life, and since he's the balabayas, he's the one that should be mechan in Torah Tosuda. That's the derech eretz. When you invite guests, you don't say, okay, you're welcome to come to my house, you're cooking. No, if you're inviting guests, you're supposed to be the one that's cooking. So since it was done by the chasan's house, the chasan should be the one that takes upon himself the bulk of the responsibility for the suda. The kala also will prepare something. When you're invited to someone's house, you bring something over, you bring a dessert, a dish, or something. So the kala also prepares the smaller behema. But the chasan is chiefly responsible for it. It doesn't seem to be in the minhag nowadays, but probably that's because we don't do it in the chasan's house anymore. We do it in a wedding hall, and other reasons also. But Arba Prakim Elu, so we said that during these four times of the year, you can force the butcher, the shochet, to shecht the meat, even if you only own a little portion of it. So says Gemara, v'halo mashach, where's your kinyan on the dinar's worth of meat that you bought? You didn't do a meshicha on it. And says Gemara, amravun amrav, kisha mashach. Yeah, we're talking about that. Yes, you did. You did a meshicha on it. Okay, but then ihachi, eima seifav, b'shari mos hashana eino kein, l'ficha mes l'mocher, v'amashach. If the case of our Mishnah is that you already did a kinyan, and you're therefore already the owner of the meat, how come the Mishnah says that if it's any other time of the year, you're not yet the owner of the meat, and therefore if it dies you don't lose out, and you can't force the butcher to shechle that day? But if we're talking about that you did a meshicha, you already own it. So it says in Gemara, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak li'olam shalom mashach. Really the case is that you did not do the meshicha on the shor. Ukagon shezik alo al yedei acher. The case is the guy who sold the meat was mizakeh through someone else to make a kinyan on your behalf on that dinar worth of meat. Barba prakamelu dizchusulo zachon adam shlo b'fanav. During these four times a year, it's considered a zechus for you to become the owner, and therefore we apply the principle of zachon ladim shel b'fanav, a guy who makes the kinyan on your behalf, that kinyan is valid, and that's why you become the owner immediately upon him making that kinyan for you, even without your knowledge. But b'shar yimos hashonet t'chov ulo, every other time of the year, it's a chov to spend money on basar. Why would you want to be spending so much money? So it's a chov to spend money on basar. Ein chavan ladam shlo b'fanav. A person cannot make himself to be a shliach for someone without being specifically authorized to do so for something that will work against him. That will be a chov. And therefore the lokeach is not kona during shar yimos hashana, meaning during these four times, everyone wants meat, and it's understood that everyone wants meat. So it's clearly a zuchus for him to be kona that meat. During the rest of the year, it's not necessarily a zuchus to be kona that meat. The Me'iri just points out from the Gemara, it sounds like he could be zochel adam shlo b'fanav, even though that it's not a pure zuchus, even though it could come out bad for the person. Because what happens if I'm kona a piece of that animal? Yes, it's beneficial to me in the sense that I could force the shochet to shech the animal even if he's not ready to do so. And I'll have meat for yantiv, that's great. But what if the animal drops dead? I lose out. So there is a tzad chov over here. So you see that says Amiri, it seems like zachon ladam shlo b'fanav applies begadol. Overall, is this a zuchus or is this a chov? Overall, it's a zuchus. The zuchuyos outweigh the chovos within this transaction. And that lechora, says Amiri, sounds from here, would be enough to create zachon ladam shlo b'fanav. That's a major discussion in Achronim. We're not going to get into it right now. Reb Lazar Amar Rabbi Yochanan, barba prakam elu hamidu chacham divrayim al din Torah. He gives a different explanation. That because everyone needs meat at these four times of the year, we go back to what the din would have been midah oraisa, that you've already been konit as soon as you give the money. Meaning, really giving the money. money would not make you the owner of the meat. You didn't do a meshicha, and therefore there's no kinyan, you're not yet the owner of the meat. But on a daraisa level, it would be. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah, Ma'os Konos. On a daraisa level, just giving money is already considered a kinyan. You're already the owner of that meat. Mata Mamru Meshicha Kona. Why is it that we require a meshicha and that we don't rely on Ma'os Konos? That we're afraid that the mocher is going to tell the lokeach, sorry, a fire broke out and all of the wheat that you purchased from me and have not yet taken possession of all got burnt. And the mocher is not going to try to save it because it's not his stuff anyway. Midal Raisa, once he was paid, what does he care? It already belongs to the lokeach. So that's because of that gezeira, we say, no, you only become the owner when you take possession of it, when you do a meshicha, when you do a physical meshicha on the item. But if it's, I just paid for it and it's still in the warehouses of the mocher, I am not yet the owner of it. That's a din midrabanan. The Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Mem Zayin and Beis brings a machlokas. What kinyan is kona midine Torah? Rabbi Yochanan is the one that holds ma'os konos. Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish holds that meshicha is a din da'araisa, and he learns it from the pasuk v'chisim kru memkal amisecha o kona miyad amisecha o kona miyad amisecha. He's a dover anikna miyad liyad. That's a description of meshicha, that which goes from hand to hand where you take it. There's a machlokas Rishonim where Rabbi Yochanan gets his din, because the Gemara is not explicit about that. Where does Rabbi Yochanan get the idea that money would be enough? So Rashi over there says that he darshens from the pasuk that it says about when you kona something from Hegdish, pasuk says v'yosef chamishes kesef erkcha alav v'kam lo, that kinyan kesef is able to be kona from Hegdish. So we make a kal v'chomer that if by Hegdish kinyan kesef works, so when you're kona mehedyot kinyan kesef all the more so should work. That's shitas Rashi. Other Rishonim have different ideas of where we get this idea that Ma'os Konos. But the point over here is that's how we can explain why it is that on these four times of the year, once you paid for it, you're the owner of that meat, whereas the rest of the times of the year when you paid for it, you're not the owner of that meat. Because really on the Midrabanan, once we made this gzeira, you're not the owner of that meat. But these four times of the year, we're Hamidu Dineyam al Din Torah. We go back to the Din Doraisa, Lefishitas Rabbi Yochanan, that just giving the money makes you the owner of that meat. Okay, new Mishnah now. Yom Echad Amar Vosav Espino. When we say you're not allowed to shecht, Osav Espino, on the same day, what does it mean, the same day? Hayom Holech Achar Laila. It means what we normally consider a halachic day, that the day follows the night. The day starts the previous night. Ezudor Shabashim Ben Zoma, Nemer B'Maisa Bereshis. After all, it says B'Maisa Bereshis, when we talk about the end of the first day, Yom Echad, V'Nemer Vosav Espino, Yom Echad. And the Pasuk says, V'Shor Oseh Osav Espino Lo Sishchatu, Be Yom Echad. So he uses that same lashon. Ma Yom Echad Amar B'Maisa Bereshis, Hayom Holech Achar Laila. Just like the Yom Echad that it says B'Maisa Bereshis, by definition it means night first followed by day. Av Yom Echad Amur B'Yosef Espino, Hayom Holech Achar Laila. So B'Yosef Espino also we assume it's night followed by day. That's how we define a Yom when it comes to the din of B'Yosef Espino. So Tan Rabban Hazud Dorosh Rav Shimon Ben Zoma Lefi Shekol Inyan Kulam. You need this drasha because the entire parsha of Osav Espino is talking about kachim. The previous pasuk was about yiratza the karban ishe la Hashem, was all about karbanos. So even though the din of Osav Espino is not only a din in kachim, but the entire context is in kachim. And we know the rule is b'kachim laila holech achar hayom, that by kachim the laila follows the yom. So yachal av zekein. So you might think by Osav Espino it's also that it would also be the case would be Laila Holech Achar Hayom, that the day would be defined as morning first, then night. So that's why you need this drasha, that the phrase Yom Echad appears both here and Maisa Bereshis. Ma Yom Echad Amar Maisa Bereshis Hayom Holech Achar Laila Av Yom Echad Amar Bosu Espino Hayom Holech Achar Halaila. So in both contexts we assume that it means that the Yom follows the Laila. It's an interesting discussion in Achronim whether we assume Hayom Holech Achar Laila or Laila Holech Achar Yom. When it comes to the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov that we were discussing before, they have to eat meat on each day of Yom Tov, assuming that there is such a chiyuv to eat meat on each day of Yom Tov. How do we define day? Is it each day? Now the days of Yom Tov are certainly defined as Hayom Holech Achar Laila, but it could be that because the initial din of mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov is Karban Shlamim and by Karbanos Halayla Holech Achar Yom, that each day of Yom Tov of Halayla Holech Achar Yom you would require meat. So let's say we have 2 days of Yom Tov, you would have to eat meat on the first night because that's the only time you can eat that yom. Then the second day you have the option, then the first day you have the option of the first daytime or the second night, one or the other. right? And then on the second day, you'd have to eat meat at the daytime meal, right? That would be that's a big machlokas in the Achronim, whether we follow Yom HaLechachar Laila or Laila LeChachar Yom when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says from the fact that it says Yom Echad, Yom Hamiyuchad, that Ta'un Karuz Mikan Amru Barba Pam Bashana Hamocher Beim Lechaver Tzarech Lodio, that Yom Echad is to teach us a different din, the din that we were talking about before, that the mocher has to let you know that he sold the other generation from this animal's family on that same day, specifically on these four times of the year, because you know that everyone who's buying meat is buying to use it immediately. So, Hadru Lachos V'Espino, now we begin Perek Kisei Adam. The Torah says very clearly, Vayikra Perek Yitzayin Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'ish Ish Mi B'nei Yisrael Min Agera Garbis Alcham Asher Yatsud Tseid Chaya O Of Asher Yechel, if a person has a chaya or an oaf, V'shafach Es Damo, and he shechts it, V'chisol Ba'afar, there's a mitzvah to cover that dam. So Kisei Adam Noig Ba'aretz V'chutz La'aretz, it applies both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, V'fnei Abayi V'shechol B'fnei Abayis, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, and now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, V'chulin Avalo B'mukdashin, but only to chulin animals, not to hegdish animals. V'noig B'chayu Ba'ov, and it applies to chayus and ofos, but not behemos, b'mezuman, but u'b'she'enu mezuman, and it applies whether it's an animal that you already have around your house, or in your chutz or whatever, or it's an animal that you got from the wild, v'noeg b'koi, and it applies to a chai, which we already discussed, is a safek behema, safek chaya, v'pnei shu safek, because it's a safek, v'ein shochten also b'yom tov. But you shouldn't shecht a chai on Yom Tov, because then you're not going to be able to do Kisei Adam. V'im shechato ein mechasen estamo. If you did shecht it, you can't do the Kisei on Yom Tov, because the mitzvah of Kisei Adam of a chai is only midin safek, and mi safek, you're not allowed to be mechal Yom Tov, you're not allowed to start digging around to be mechal Yom Tov. Gemara Mesechta Beis discusses what exactly is the chil Yom Tov involved in Kisei Adam. So it says the tiltul ha'afar is muktza, and that would be the chil Yom Tov involved in Kisei Adam. Says Gemara, Mukdashin my time alone. Why taka does this not apply to hektish animals? Why don't we find a mitzvah of Kisei Adam on hektish animals? Ilem mishum Rabbi Zeira, Dam Rabbi Zeira, Shochet Tzarech Shitein Afer Lamata Va'Afer Lamayla. If it's because of Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira holds that Kisei Adam does not only mean to cover the dam with dirt, it means to also put a bed of dirt underneath the dam before you shecht the animal. Shenemar v'shafach hasamov v'chiso ba'afar. Afar lo nemar ela be'afar. Melamit shashoch etzorg sheiten afar lamata v'afar lamalu. We learn from the word be'afar that you need afar underneath the dam and afar above the dam. You have to sandwich the dam with afar. V'hach lo evshar. But in hegdish, by karbanos, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to wrap it in afar. Why not? Hechi lavid. What are you supposed to do? Leisiv liftelei. Should you put the dirt on the mizbeach and be mevatelit there forever? Kamosif abinyan. Well, then you're adding to the binyan of the mizbeach, and you're not allowed to do that. Uksiv by all of the midos of the Beis Hamikdash and the kelim, they were given al pi the neviim. When David HaMelech says to Shlomo, Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alai hiskil, that everything is already arranged and determined from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his neviim, the exact measurements, you're not allowed to change anything. That's what the Gemara asks at the end of Masechta Sukkah, how they made this tikkun gadol by building a mechitza. You're not allowed to make building a balcony for the women by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, because they saw that it was maybe they takala to have all the men and women in close proximity on the same level. That's what the minig is, that many shuls have a balcony Ezra Snashim, and that was the assumption that was the original Ezra Snashim. The Ezra Snashim in the Beis HaMikdash was not a balcony, but the Ezra Snashim has nothing to do with the reason we have an Ezra Snashim in Shul, to have a mechitza, to have a separate section where the women are. That was a balcony that they built. So the Gemara already asks that it seems to go against this pasuk. But the point is over here: if you're putting the afar on the mizbeach, you're adding to the binyan. So lo livatle. So you say, okay, so don't be mevatle there. Just put it there for a little bit. Kavi chatzitza. Well, then it's going to be chatzitza between the dam and the mizbeach. The Torah says, "V'nimtza damo al kir hamizbeach." So you can't have a chatzitza between the dam and the mizbeach. So says Gemara, "Nihid lamata lo efshar, lamayla efshar." Granted, you can't put the dirt underneath it, but you could put the dirt on top of it. Lavid kisui, so you should do the kisui adami lemailu, because after all, Milo Tanya, Rabbi Yonos and Rabbi Yosef Omer, shachat chaya v'achar kach shachat behema, patr milchasos. If you shecht the chaya and then you shecht a behema, you don't have to cover it with dirt because you're not able to, because the dam chaya is already covered by dam behema. But behema v'achar kach chaya, chaya v'chasos. If you shecht the behema first and then the dam chaya goes on top of the dam behema, not on top of dirt, you can cover it with dirt. So we see only the top dirt is really ma'akev. So why in the Beis HaMikdash couldn't they do that? Just do the top dirt, even though normally you're supposed to do both. And so Gemara Kedir Rabbi Zeira, Dam Rabbi Zeira, Kol Roy Lebila and Bila Ma'akevus Bo, Kol Shein Roy Lebila, Bila Ma'akevus Bo. You may not need to have the bottom dirt in order to be Yotzi the Mitzvah, but you need to have the possibility of having the bottom dirt. In the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't even have that possibility because there was no way to put the dirt underneath. And because they didn't even have that possibility, it must be that there's no Mitzvah of Kisei Adam when it comes to Mukdashim. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue that discussion.